Hi, my name's John Paler from the Bipolar Battle. Thanks for joining us today. I have Oliver Seligman, author of Befriending Bipolar, and also The Broker That Broke Free, right?
Yeah, the broker who broke free.
Yes, awesome. Cool. So today we just wanted to, this is my first podcast episode in almost a year. Last time, my last episode was with Ollie. And now we get to kind of bring it full circle back to him. And we were discussing before this about meditation. And I'd like Ollie to explain, he's a teacher and instructor in this form of meditation. And I really want to hear more and see how not only it helps me, but all you listening. So take it away, Ollie.
Thanks for having me, John. It's good to see you
Sure.
again.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Well, I learned to, well, I call it ascension, or it's called the Ashaya's ascension, as taught by the Bright Path, which is quite a complicated name. But the website is www.thebrightpath.com. So that's where to find it if you're interested. Basically, I worked as a trader in London and New York, buying, selling shares at a big investment bank. And I thought I could buy happiness. I thought if I make enough money, I can buy a place on the beach in Thailand and then I can retire, and I'll be at
Okay.
peace. Unfortunately, what I didn't realize was that peace is not really about our surroundings. And it's not even really about our life situation. It's all about what's going on up here. So I did this, did a couple of jobs as a sales trader, and eventually quit, just completely struggling with the whole thing, and waited about 6 weeks because I felt fantastic for the first 6 weeks once I'd resigned, and I thought this is great. I've been given a payout, I'm living in a nice part of London, my mates are around, I've got great family, everything's going well. But then after about 6 weeks, suddenly the same kind of thoughts, the same feelings and negativity started to come back that had been there at work. And it gave me a real shock because I realized, oh my goodness, this isn't going to work. I've just given up this incredible job. I thought that would make me happy, and it hasn't. And then by a few sort of magical coincidences, this guy was giving me a shiatsu massage, and he kept telling me about the Ashaya's ascension meditation techniques. And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, please just give me a massage. I'm not interested in meditation, I'm
Yeah.
way too fast in my head. I used to be a trader. This is not going to happen. But he kept going, and I'll be forever grateful for him for doing that, because basically I left the shiatsu, sort of shook his hand, said thanks very much, and lied to him. I said, yeah, I'll look into this meditation, with no intention of doing it whatsoever.
That's
Meditation's
great.
not for me.
Yeah.
And then, long story short, and this is all covered in my book, The Broker Who Broke Free, I had four brushes with death in the space of about 5 months. And after the last one, the penny dropped, and I realized that on some level, my mental chaos, a lot of which was to do with bipolar, was somehow affecting my world. It was somehow contributing to this bad luck that I was experiencing, and me taking too many risks and generally being a bit too aggressive, a bit too abrasive. And so I flew back to the UK. I learned to ascend, as it's called, over at a weekend course. And it kind of went from there. I didn't particularly enjoy ascending or meditating at the start. Most people do. Most people find a lot of peace, but I think probably because of the medication I was on, and also the state of my mind, I found it very boring. And I often fell asleep, and I didn't enjoy it. But what I started to notice was my life started to change, and I became more patient. I became more loving. My relationships, some of my relationships got a lot better. Some of my more negative relationships kind of fell away. I noticed that I had more kind of just inner stability, and this restlessness that had been with me for since I could remember it sort of started to calm down. And these things basically gave me enough encouragement to keep going. And then I went to on a 6 month course in Canada. I learned to teach it. I actually became an Ishaya monk, whose Ishaya name is Maitreya, This is all a
Oh,
bit strange
cool.
and bipolar
No, it
interview. It
sounds
sounds like I'm
awesome.
mad as a hatter,
I
but
think it
this
sounds
actually
great.
happened.
Yeah.
And then for the last 20 years, I've been well, traveling the world for the first 10, 15, and then I settled in Norway and in the UK and teaching Ascension to people who want to learn and helping them find peace.
Okay. Awesome. No, that sounds awesome. 'Cause I in terms of meditation, there's I guess there's like transcendental meditation too. Tristan was on one of my episodes and he told me about it. I looked into it a little bit. There's not a lot of instructors around here. I guess I could follow your footsteps and find somebody who could teach me, and then I could become an instructor, but yeah, that I think meditation for bipolar disorder especially is we, like you said, our minds are always going. Like even when I'm stable, my mind is still going, and my thoughts are in front. When I'm manic, I'm coming down from a mania now, and my thoughts are more controlled, so I'm able to, before it would, I would have to consciously like stop my thought or write a note, because then I would go on to the next topic, and I would get ahead of myself, and I wouldn't be able to circle back. I don't know if that's kind of what you feel like with the racing thoughts. When I'm in mania, like the past couple of months, my thoughts go so fast. It's interesting because my thoughts go so fast, and I think they trigger, like in my case, psychosis with seeing things or hearing things, because my senses are like bam, bam, bam on hyperdrive. And so things are so clear. And I was actually talking to my wife the other day about this, music. I'll listen to music and I'll have this sort of intense religious experience, And I, as I started to come down, I've noticed that some of that music, I still enjoy it. I love it. The music I'm working out to or just listening to on the radio, I totally dig it. But it's not that sort of emotional, intense experience. I mean, I don't know. Can you tell me your experience about it?
Yeah, I've had that experience with music. I remember once in a psychosis, whenever I heard a song by Once Were Dragons, I think that's it. Well, they might be dragons. Whenever I heard that song, I would like literally go into a different realm with all these dragons and flaming sort of I don't know what you call them, sort of lights, torches, flaming torches, and have these like incredibly weird and sinister experiences. A lot of it was very sexual. And that was when I was actually off my meds and I was quite vulnerable. But no, I know what you mean. Sometimes, I can wake up and everything's very, very clear. And it's almost a bit too clear. And what I found for me is that the lithium is what stops that for me going into psychosis. You know,
Great.
I've obviously
Yeah.
tried without and it didn't work. So the level I'm
Right.
on now, which I imagine I'll stay on for most of my life, the rest of my life, is good because I feel a bit more than when I was on a very high level, but
Right.
I also feel stable, which is really, really nice. And if I have any problems, which I haven't had any sort of psychotic symptoms for probably, I'm thinking 4 or 5 years now, but if I start to get them, then I have some olanzapine antipsychotic from my doctor, and I can just take those for 3 or 4 days and I'm fine. And when I only take them for 3 or 4 days, I don't get the horrible side effects. So it seems to work pretty well for me. That's my kind of arrangement.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because as I mentioned before we started recording, there was a huge upheaval in my life about a year ago. And at that time, I was on a stable regime of medication since 2016. And the medication, the olanzapine, it's also the brand name is Zyprexa. I had it as a PRN as well, where I take my regular meds. And if I started my thoughts started racing, you know, the libido started shooting up, the voices and seeing things shot up. I would do what you did, and I had it arranged with my doctor, of course. And I think we should mention that too, that all of these meds that we discuss, like what you experience can be completely different than I experience. Everybody experiences it differently, and I think people need to realize it. Because so just because I have an experience, let's say with Zyprexa, for instance, if I'm on it long term, personally, I gain weight. But I've actually had friends that have been on it and they've lost weight. So it completely depends your DNA, your biological makeup, and so forth. And I just want people to understand with our podcast, like you and I aren't promoting one med over another. Like with lithium, this past year, I switched meds, and lithium was one of those meds. And as I went up, it helped stabilize me. But then I started shaking real bad and a host of other just not fun symptoms. So then I had to wean down, and now I'm up on another med. So it's kind of just a trial and error with our medication. And so, like for me personally, I'm on a mood stabilizer. I'm on an antipsychotic, and I'm actually on two antipsychotics now. But it's kind of like an art form with doctors because she's putting me on this one antipsychotic, and she has to wean me up, titrate me upwards. And then the other one, she's going to have to titrate me down now that I'm starting to get stable. So I find it interesting with psychiatry because it really is trial and error. It's like, okay, we're going to try this med. We might add this med, but that doesn't work as well, so we'll wean off that. And so it's almost like an art form. I mean, I know it's based on science and they have studies and research, but like I said, what works for you might not work for me. Like, you can't just put everybody on this certain mood stabilizer and expect the same results. So that's a long-winded kind of comment about segueing from you.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's important that the listeners know that neither of us are experts or trained in this. We're just sharing our
Yes.
experiences. So if you
Yes, thank
do,
you, Ollie. Yeah.
yeah, if you do decide to do anything, then, you know, always consult your doctor or your therapist. And yeah, we're just sharing our own experiences.
Yeah, and just another thing too is when it comes to medication, make sure your expectations are in line with your doctor's. So make sure you don't just stop a medication or do anything with it until you speak with your doctor. Yeah. So, you know, something I was thinking about before we were kind of talking about when you were discussing when you left your brokerage job. And how you had these expectations that once you left that, you're going to be happier. And you had these really high expectations, right? But then what reality gave you was completely, I mean, it was almost the exact opposite of what those expectations were. And I subscribe, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the big bodybuilder, you know, all that. Well, I joined his beta. He launched an app at the beginning of this year, and somehow I was one of the 5,000 founders, and now it's up to 500,000. But anyway, it's just to give you some background. Now, it's like a private forum where we get a chance to discuss with Arnold about things. He posts articles, and one of the articles he posted a couple days ago was about expectations and happiness. And so he gave this study about studying people over 25 years. I could get the study and post it. Maybe I'll try to remember to put it in the comments along with your. The website you gave, but there was an equation that he gave that happiness here, happy, like if you're going to make it a mathematical equation, happiness equals reality minus your expectations. And so your reality when you left was a lot different than your expectations. So it makes sense that you had these high expectations, your reality was down here, and that equals your happiness. So the balance between your expectations and reality gave you the negative. And something I thought he made a good point too is that not to say that you should reduce your expectations. It's not something, because that's what I first thought was, well, if your expectations are up here, your reality is down here, like, shouldn't you just reduce your expectations? But that's not how you should look at it. You can still have high dreams and, you know, these awesome goals and stuff. But if your reality is right here, you have to take steps to go up to reach that expectation and then go higher. And I think that's what you did, because you took your reality and you started working on yourself, your self-awareness and how to get better. So now, boom, your reality is up here and you still have high expectations, but it's like way up here now. So you're, like you said, this might be the happiest, the best you've felt for a long time. And I just find that very interesting. What do you think about that, Ollie?
Well, I think the main reason that I'm at peace is because I don't think very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't generally have expectations.
Okay.
You see, most of us are brought up to believe that if we create a good life, then we'll be happy. If we have a great relationship, if we are successful at work, if we do hobbies we enjoy, if we have meaning in our life, that's a very, very big one. Perhaps if we're financially free or if we are able to travel a lot, then we'll be happy. But the interesting thing is that if you ever speak to people who have those things or do those things, most of them will admit that they're no happier than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen through Ascension is that most of us become addicted to our minds. We become addicted to thinking, and we think and we think and we think all day. I think it was Stanford University did a study and discovered that we have between 60,000 and 100,000 thoughts a day, most of mm-hmm. which are repetitive and similar to the day before. And we think all of them. And through meditation, what I've learned to discover and what anyone can discover is this peaceful, still, quiet place that exists within us that is there always, but we can only experience it when we're not thinking about things and we're just gently aware of awareness itself, aware of the stillness within us. And then as someone does that for a period of time, then they start to see the beliefs and the habits that we hold often very dearly that causes pain. So for example, someone might believe that they're not worthy of love. Now that's going to cause a lot of problems in relationships, probably lead to a lot of relationships ending. And as soon as they see that belief, they can let go of it. And then all of a sudden, often their relationships will change. Or someone else might believe that they're never good enough. And, you know, we're powerful, creative beings. And if we believe we're never good enough, then our world will start to show that to us, that we're not good enough. And people will bully us, or they will fire us from jobs that we think we deserve, or we will just find ourselves being very, very unlucky. But once someone starts to create a distance from their mind, from their thoughts, not suppressing thoughts, not trying to sort of push them away or silence the mind, that's not necessary with Ascension anyway, then they start to just become more themselves. You start to just kind of be more chilled, more relaxed, more focused.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people believe that you can use meditation to give up medication. I've never seen that. I think that's a very, very dangerous belief system.
Yes.
I think some spiritual teachers teach that, and I think it's irresponsible if they do. But what I found is that on the right level of medication, I have managed to find a peace that most people don't experience. Now, if I come off lithium, interestingly enough, Ascension no longer works. It's like I completely lose my peace. I could go into psychosis or depression or mania, and the meditation does nothing. But when I'm sort of when my nervous system is working and I'm chemically balanced, that's when I've really been able to investigate ascension, and it's just done amazing things for me.
Okay. I actually have a question for you because I find it interesting about how you said your thinking has been reduced. So that's kind of helped you feel better and get to a better state of mind. But then when you get off lithium, let's say, or even my example, going into mania, it's interesting you talk about thoughts like that because mania, those thoughts come rushing in. It's like just a constant boom, boom. And then when you get your meds straight, those thoughts for me start to slow down and they just start to become at a more manageable state. And like you said, then I think you can start to work on yourself and the things that you enjoy and that you love. That's what I'm finding. I told you that stress that happened this past year, it was going so much, and I was thinking so much all the time. And now that it's been to a semi-conclusion, like I'm starting to come down from that mania and I'm getting my meds straight. So then I can start working on what I love, which is helping people and educating and bringing awareness based on my own lived experience, like you. I think that's great. I think it's fantastic. And I actually have a question for you when you were kind of going through right before I spoke about letting go. I think that's a hard thing for everyone to do. Can you give us some examples, or it would actually be awesome if you could give us a tool or like a strategy that we could implement. Because I hear people say, oh, just let it go. Or another thing is just get rid of your anger, that sort of thing. What does that look like in practice?
That's a great request. Thanks. What's your record in bench press? How much can you bench press?
The most I've done, I think, is 250 pounds for a couple
Wow.
reps. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, thanks. And I'm a short, kind of smaller dude. So it was way over how much I weigh.
That's
But
cool.
that
That's
was
really
years
cool.
ago. That was years ago, Oliver. Yeah.
So if I said to you, John, I'd like you to go into the gym tomorrow and bench press 350 pounds 5 times. What would you say to me?
Absolutely not. There's no way. I'd hurt myself or something bad would happen.
Well, this is a bit like what most people are like with things like meditation. Most of us relate to training physically and the benefits from it, and so some people choose to do it, some choose not to do it, no problem. But we realize that if we train, we tend to get stronger, we tend to get healthier. It tends to be good for us as long as we don't go crazy with it.
Yeah,
But
right.
when it comes to happiness, most of us don't put any energy into it at all, other than trying to find it in our world, which doesn't work. So we put a lot of energy into our job, thinking that if we get the pay rise, then we'll be satisfied. But then we get the pay rise, and 2 months later, we want another one. It's wild.
Right.
So what I would sort of suggest to everyone is that in order to find a more permanent state of peace, and I'm going to talk about peace rather than happiness, because peace is a more kind of it's a more balanced state of mind. Happiness, it's easy to confuse with hypermania or whatever. But to
Right.
find more peace, from what I've seen, we have to train. We have to find usually a form of meditation, I would say. There aren't that many forms of meditation that are very good, but there are a few. But any kind of meditation that is taught by people who are kind, lighthearted, that its main focus is on taking you to an experience of the stillness rather than strong feelings or trying to experience a lot of bliss or loads of love and stuff. And if there's a lot of focus on that, then I personally would be wary of that.
Okay.
But something that takes us to be more present, more focused, more gently focused, and then to start to explore that. And for a lot of us, perhaps all of us, it's a good idea to talk to your doctor or your therapist first. It's very rare for, at least for Ascension, what I do, it's very, very rare for that to destabilize someone. But it's always a good idea when we try something new just to let the safety net know, if you know what I mean, and not to go in too hard. Like when someone learns to ascend, we recommend that they try and do 1 to 3 times a day for 20 minutes with their eyes closed. Now, some people, they don't manage that. They do 5 minutes a day, which is great because it's 5 minutes more than they did before. But then
Right.
occasionally you get someone who's super passionate and they try and do 2 hours a day. And I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's too much, you know? And I think some of us with our bipolar minds, you know, we tend to go a bit hard at things. But that's sort of really my suggestion. Now, to give you a tool to try and find more peace from the mind, one thing that I do, or I did it anyway before I learned to ascend, is if you go and if you're feeling a bit down, or you're feeling a bit agitated or restless, like nothing serious. If you're feeling it seriously, then you need to contact someone for help, you know. But if you're just feeling a bit off, and you stand up and you go to the window and you look out of the window and you really look at what's going on. And if you notice you're starting to think stuff, oh God, I feel a bit sad today, or why am I always so restless? Just let go of that gently and just really start to look, you know, look at the trees, look at the leaves, look at the people walking by, look at what they're wearing, really become more focused on what's happening. You can do the same thing with sounds. And what you will often start to experience is that it takes your mind away from all the thoughts about yourself and all the problems, and it takes it onto something that it can focus on. And
Okay.
often there's a relief in that, or there's a peace, or even a stillness or a quiet in that. So it's something you can explore. I wouldn't say it was a route to long-term peace, but it could be something that you can play with that might work for you.
Okay. I actually have another question then. So, is that part of the meditation aspect of it? Like, if I looked into it, would they kind of give me a step-by-step way to, okay, do it this way with looking and hearing? Because I've also heard mindfulness is similar, bringing you to the moment, and you look at your five senses. So, like you're saying, you look, you see, you acknowledge what's going on to kind of bring you where you are now, instead of thinking, oh, tonight I have to do this, tomorrow I have to do this. It's, whoa, like you said, looking out the window. Well, look at those trees. They're swaying in the wind. You can see, you can hear the birds up there chirping in the nest, that sort of thing. I mean, is that similar? I'm just trying to clarify it for myself.
Well, what I just gave you was what you could call it a mindfulness exercise,
Okay.
but with ascension, I feel it's very, very powerful, because we teach you over a weekend course. There are always two teachers because it's better for everyone and it's more fun for everyone involved. And often people relate to one teacher more than the other, so it's great when you have variety. But we teach you four techniques, which are based on praise, gratitude, love, and compassion. Now, it's
Okay.
not a belief system, so you don't have to sort of learn to look at the world differently. You don't have to try to be a better person or try to be more positive. I found that those approaches tend to be quite exhausting, and eventually we give up. So with ascension, they're mechanical techniques that is designed to bring your brain into more harmony, and to give you a bit more distance from your thoughts. And over time, and it can happen very quickly. For a lot of people, it happens on the first weekend, but for some, it takes a few weeks or even a few months afterwards. But they'll start to experience this peaceful presence. Now, the real difference between ascension and most forms of mindfulness is just about being present with what's happening. It's about being alert. It can be very effective, it can be very, very helpful. But ascension is about discovering the presence of the divine that exists within you. And
Okay.
this presence is an actual experience. It's a quiet, still aliveness. And when you start to build a relationship with it, and you start to sort of almost dissolve into it, then you become a lot more peaceful and happy and also alive at the same time. So it doesn't really, it's not like this kind of like, oh, peace, you know, where you're a bit kind of floppy and whatever. It's more like, it's a happy aliveness. It's a peaceful, just present friendliness. And also with ascension, you can do it with your eyes open and closed, which is particularly good because when you're going to work, you can ascend. When you're in an argument with a boss, or you see something happen that affects you, you can ascend and allow it to just flow through you quicker. It's
Okay.
I think it's cool. I really, really, I mean, I've done it for 21 years, so obviously I'm convinced.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh man, just hearing you talk about it, that sounds amazing. The peacefulness, just I'm definitely gonna have to look into it more and chat with you more later about it for sure. Yeah,
I used to, as you know, as most of the guys listening, maybe everyone listening, I used to have a really busy mind, and it was a horrible mind. You know, I used to think horrible things about myself and other people, and you know, I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to pull anyone down, but you know, we all know what I'm talking about. And I remember after about, I'm guessing it was about 2 years of ascending. One day it was like my thoughts, which had always been really close, they'd always kind of clung to me like a mask. It felt like they moved about 2 meters away from me. They just became quieter. Now, of course, sometimes they still, you know, move up close, but as a kind of default, there is this distance. And that distance just was filled with much more peace and balance and stillness. And now, you know, I've obviously been doing it for a long time, but now I have long periods where my mind is just quiet. It's just peaceful. There's not a lot of thought. There's not a lot of stuff happening. And that enables me to be myself rather than the person I was, you know, completely controlled by my thoughts and my emotions.
Yeah. I just love that because I think especially nowadays, instead of learning to kind of be with your thoughts and find that level of peace, people use distractions for their bad thoughts, their troublesome thoughts. You know, people, you know, shoot to social media for hours and hours and, you know, like, oh, I feel really bad right now, so I'll just indulge in this and it'll take my mind away. But then when you're done, most of the time it goes right back to it. It's like drugs, you know, it's kind of like a fixation. You chase that to get out of those thoughts, out of your head. It lasts for, you know, just a little bit, maybe up to a day, hours a day. But then, boom, you go right back down to those thoughts, those horrible feelings, and then you chase that distraction again. So, after what you were saying, that just sounds so much better because you're not relying on an outside thing, like a whatever it is, you know, a drug or social media or food or whatever that fixation is to get you away from how you're feeling, you actually can bring it back into yourself and deal with it and process it. And I love that aspect of what everything you've been talking about.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
What was I gonna say? Speaking about thoughts and getting ahead of ourselves, is there anything else you want to touch on? I just think this has been great to just focus on the meditation and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would say one thing, and again, this is just from my experience and from a little bit of what I've seen teaching ascension. Obviously, I can't talk about meditation as a whole because it's too big. It's like if you talk about Christianity, there's loads of different types, loads of different movements. If you talk about yoga, there's lots of different types. So I'm only talking about ascension, you know, in this interview. But what I have found is that when I'm really ill, if I'm in a mania or in a depression, then basically I need help. I need to get myself in front of a psychiatrist or a doctor. I probably need medication. You know, it's kind of emergency time, if you know what I mean. But in the periods when I've been stable, that's really when ascension has allowed me to sort of build up this bank of peace in myself, and it's allowed me to distance myself from my mind more. But if I, you know, if I start to get depressed or start to go manic, then again, I can't use the techniques to stop it. And the reason I'm saying this is because sometimes people are quite hard on themselves. Sometimes we think it's our fault that we have all these thoughts, or that we're, you know, we're going manic or we're going depressed or whatever. And if someone has been meditating, that can be even harder because they think they should be able to control it. And when we get taught meditation, it's well worth realizing that we're a bit different if we have bipolar, and that the people teaching it don't necessarily know about it. So I had periods on my path where I would be manic, and people would just say, "Oh, just meditate a bit more, you know, then your mind will calm down." And it didn't, and I got really frustrated and very pissed off with them. They didn't know any different. It wasn't like it was their fault, but I think it's important for us to realize that our minds are a bit different, and that
Definitely.
we maybe need to make sure that we get more help rather than less. On our on a spiritual path, if that's what we're interested in, or a path to find peace.
I just to add on what you were speaking about, I think that's a huge thing that we should all, especially all of the listeners listening in, is that when we're in crisis mode, when we're depressed, when we're manic, when we're in a mixed state, whatever it may be, we are in crisis mode and we need help for that. It's not a time it, like we need medication changes or additions in therapy. We need professional help. And it's not one of those things where you can just say, oh, I'll eat healthy. Or like you said, oh, I'll change my thoughts. You can't really do any of that until you're stable. And that's what I found with my own experience is that I can work on myself once I'm stable and I'm able to. But I think people that don't have bipolar disorder realize that it, whether I know people say it's not a chemical imbalance anymore, but there's some sort of chemistry DNA going on in there that it's not level and it's not stable unless we have outside support from like medication and therapy and so forth. So then once we get stable, like you said, then we can meditate. And that's kind of what the whole premise, the focus of my nonprofit, the Bipolar Battle Inc., is empowering those of us with bipolar disorder to realize, hey, yes, these crises are going to be coming in and we're going to have to deal with them. But then once we're able to stabilize, then take advantage of that time. Work on yourself, the meditation, self-awareness, your projects, that your passions, and so forth. So I just wanted to add that.
That's great. Thanks, John.
Sure thing. I kind of to wrap things up, I'd like you to talk about I'd really like you to discuss kind of what you're working on yourself right now. Any projects? We mentioned your two books, your meditation. Are there other things you're doing, or kind of what does your life look like?
Yeah, at the moment I had a bit of a break from social media for a while because I just didn't feel it, you know. And I try not to force things too much these days. But I got a bit more excited about a month ago, and so I've started working on my website, which is oliverseligman.com. Pretty original name there. And it's not totally finished, but there's a video up there and just a little bit of information or whatever about some of my books. But the biggest thing I do is I'm doing my best to promote Befriending Bipolar, because it seems to have been helping a lot of people, supporting a lot of people, inspiring a lot of people. I mean, again, I'm not an expert, so it's not like advice for bipolar, but a lot of us, when we share our experiences, other people get ideas, and they get inspired, and they get hope as well, that we can kind of find peace with this illness. So Befriending Bipolar, doing podcasts and writing little articles and stuff, has been quite big for me. I also completely rewrote The Broker Who Broke Free, which I published about, I think, about 8 years ago. And since then, I've become a much better writer. So I thought, gosh, I've got to actually rewrite this. The punctuation is pretty bad.
That's
So
great.
I rewrote that, and I put that out on Amazon. So if you're interested, that's much more about my journey with Ascension, and what it's done for me and how it works. And it's pretty lighthearted, it's pretty fun, but it's a crazy story. I mean, Four Brushes with Death is what I call them anyway, in a few months, was quite something. And I've also just been writing a few articles and doing my studies at Edinburgh University, studying a master's in psychology of mental health, and having a lovely time with my wife and my parents. and going on a few meditation ascension retreats. So that's about it. Yeah, thanks, John.
Yeah, sure. Oh man,
Oh,
Ollie, that
one
sounds
thing, sorry,
amazing.
man,
Oh
one
yeah.
thing.
No,
If
you're fine.
you're interested, only if you're interested, I've got a channel on YouTube. If you type in Oliver personalities online, so there you go.
Yeah, oh, that sounds awesome. Well, you know what? Just for everybody listening, when I post this, I'll put all those links in the details below. So I'll make sure to get them from Ollie just right, so I have them correct. And then if you want to look into all the cool stuff he's doing, do that. And basically, like I said, this is the Bipolar Battle podcast. And I've been doing this since 2017, and we switched it into a nonprofit just a couple of years ago in 2020, I believe. And the whole premise and what I like to do on the podcast, we have a YouTube channel, all the social media, Twitter or X now, Instagram, Facebook, everything. That's where you can reach us. And like I said, the goal, our mission is to empower those with bipolar disorder by using tools, strategies, actionable things that you can use based on just not my lived experience, but everybody else that's contacted me and has given their input and advice and their own lived experience, like Ollie here. I think it's so beneficial for anybody listening, because when Ollie and I were dealing with this originally, we didn't have all of it. There was such a big stigma. There still is. But you can use our experience of 30, 40 years and hopefully take what's worked, what hasn't, and try that, so you don't have to do so much trial and error. So it helps you find yourself better and grow and be able to manage and cope. So, is there any last remark you want to say?
Yeah, John, I think you are perfect for the bipolar battle. Like, you've got a lot of kindness about you, and you're very approachable, and you've got a
Oh,
big
thanks, Ollie.
smile, and you're someone you give out a lot of trustworthiness. I think you're brilliant, and I think what you do is great, and I really appreciate being invited on. Thanks.
Oh, sure thing, Ollie. And your words mean the world to me. So thank you so much. Again, I appreciate you joining me. And like I said, everyone, if you want to know anything further about projects that Ollie's involved in or a link to my projects, I'll put them in the details below. So thank you again for joining us. Take care.